he's trained well and available for selection.
How's Goldsack coming along?
Yeah, Goldie's a bit sore. He won't play this week. He's been battling tendonitis in his knee over the last month or so. Copped a few knocks on it and just hasn't come up for this week. So we'll have to get the job done without him, and his leadership and aerial power in the back half's been pretty important for us. Diminished a little bit over the last couple of weeks given his body issues, but we want to make sure that he's fit and firing for the right time of the year, so we'll give him every chance to get back to 100% fitness.
So that could be more than a week?
Yeah, look, we don't know at this stage. Yeah, what we've got at the moment is a depth of players that are putting their hand up to play senior footy. You know, VFL side has performed well. We've got players experienced and young that are ready to go and have been waiting for their opportunity. So, you know, we'll continue to pick sides based on taking advantage of the opportunity in the short term, but also, you know, we've still got that eye on what our, you know, best mix is going towards the end of the year. So, you know, we'll have a sit down at the match committee this afternoon after getting the final sort of medical report after training today and assess all options. Yeah, Freddie, if he wasn't to train today, he's unlikely to be available for selection this week. He's yet to complete a full game at VFL level. We're not going to take any risks with him, as we've said all along. And a cork calf for Ben Reed is a little bit more than a cork calf for other blokes at the moment. So, yeah, it clearly rules him out of AFL contention. But with an extra day into VFL, we'll have a look at that later in the week. I don't understand the question. It's corky. No, it's cork.
Are you pleasantly surprised Brody's come up so quickly?
He's pretty tough bloke. So as soon as he got the neck brace off midway through last week, he had a couple of really good training sessions late last week, and yeah, he's presented really well, and he's, you know, you to take the benefits from it as well. He's pretty fresh. He's in good nick.
Well, Paul Seisman start on Friday. I mean, when he came on last week, he had a pretty big impact early on.
We'll have a look at that, the Sabo.
What sort of challenge
are they? Yeah, look, they're a fantastic team. To have been as successful as they've been in recent times, is evidence of that. And they've had their ups and downs throughout the year, and they've, you know, we look at that really closely, don't we? Because they've been the benchmark for so long, and I think they've proven in recent weeks that they still are the benchmark. Their best footy's the best in the comp, so we're aware of what we're facing. But having said that, our focus is pretty internal on getting to play four quarters of our football and believing that's going to hold us in good stead.
Have you looked at Hawthorn's ranking? They've had pretty poor starts to game. There's a lot of emphasis on getting into a big start early on, the first quarter.
Yeah, well, I think early days it was their consistency. I think they went win-loss for a little while. And I think the evidence of this season shows that if you're going to win games of footy, you've got to earn them. And Hawthorn have been able to do that. They've buffered potentially slow starts for the most part. That means they're finishing fast. So there's always another side of the coin to consider. But yeah, look, we want to be on from the first bounce to the last, from the first siren to the last. So that's our challenge.
They've had the wood on you in your time here. Yeah. What gives you the confidence that you've improved enough to really match them this time?
Yeah, well, they've had the wood on a few in the same time. They've been the dominant team in the comp. So the confidence that I have in our ability to go out and perform is off the base of our preparation. not just throughout this week, not in the last month, but over the last, I don't know, 18 months, building up to, you know, to having the capacity to be able to compete against the best teams at their best. We're still building, we're still developing, we're still growing, but we're always confident that our brand of footy is going to be pretty hard to beat against any opponent. So it's our challenge to provide that.
Spoke about some lessons to take out of the Fremantle game. Was there one that stood out above others that you perhaps drilled down a bit into?
Well, we didn't use the ball as effectively as we would have liked. Kicking efficiency in the first and third was pretty good. Second and last, not as good. We've sharpened up a little on a few of our mechanics, a few structural elements that we didn't feel that we got right against Fremantle. And the next opponent is a chance to get that right. It's a bit one step forward, one step back if you are waiting for losses to get those right consistently. But on that particular night, we weren't able to get the result. But there are a lot of things that we did well as also that we focused on.
And the late goals, was that just a matter of circumstance at the time, or did you see some things that you didn't like?
Oh no, there was a few things in structure there that we didn't get right. The cage goal to Walters at the end of the second, and that could have easily been Lachie Neal 20 seconds earlier at a cage stoppage preceding that. They were mainly communication and connection issues on field that we need to keep educating all our players, but our young players that are coming in, we're asking a fair bit from them. They're not being selected as greenhorns and not expected to tip into every element of our game plan. So the communication and the understanding of being able to get the right number of bodies in the right place at the right time is a lot of what footy's about, and we'll continue to educate our players around that.
When you play Hawthorn, you have to get on the front foot in terms of being aggressive.
Momentum's a massive part of the game, and Hawthorn have been the kings of it, so that shows you, why they've been so dominant. They arrest it when the opposition has it, and they take full toll of it when they've got it. So there's no doubt that, if you want to sit on your heels or back up against the ropes and just be passive and take what's coming, there's only one outcome to that. So we need to show an intent. We need to be aggressive, and we need to dictate our terms. And we plan to do that against any opposition.
Have you been a bit off in that area against Hawthorn in the past, do you think?
No, the pass is a pass. I'm worried about Friday.
Do you buy into the whole unsociable Hawks thing? I mean, also, what was your thoughts on Sam Mitchell's injection gesture? Do you frown upon that, or do you have no problem? Jets or that, would you have no problem seeing that?
Or? If the cameras weren't on it, we wouldn't have seen it. And I think it's been done to death. The unsociable element, I love the niggle. I love the aggression in the game. If it's a mental thing or a physical thing or some form of enforcing your will on the opposition, I love it. It happens mostly in play, with that enforcing yourself and imposing your will on the opposition. Most of that happens in play. The most significant time that happens is when there's a 50-50 ball and you go and win it. Or there's a tackle to be stuck and you stick the tackle. Or there's an aerial contest and you get your fist into it and send it 15, 20 metres the other way. I mean, they're the times when you impose yourself on the opposition. The unsociable elements are just saying that it's not supposed to be a comfortable place for the opposition to be when you go out and play. And we understand full well that's probably where Hawthorn are coming from. That's probably where every team are coming from. It's definitely where we are.
Is it tough for a young group like yours to enforce themselves on an experienced, hard team like Hawthorn?
You would think the balance of it would suggest yes, but we haven't had any troubles to this point.
How do you go about negating the influence of Jared Duffy?
we could go through nearly every Hawthorn player and I could spend about 5 minutes, 10 minutes on each of them. But really it's how they play together. You know, Ruffy's he plays deep, he plays high, plays midfield, bit of wing, bit of fifth and sixth, high forward. Yeah, he's very mobile. Yeah, probably the most dominant big man in the competition over the last 5-6 years. In all his roles. So he's one that we're going to be challenged by. But if we start looking at one, we'll miss the second, miss the third, miss the fourth, and they bat pretty deep. So it's going to be a team focus on how we play, and sharing the responsibility to be able to play really solid team footy in all three phases of the game to be able to impose our will on the contest. Yeah, I mean, both Brownie and Frosty have had times on Ruffy at different times, so I think you'll see both of those matchups at different times.
Is that you're underestimated externally, folks?
Well, standard response to that is it's irrelevant how we're perceived or how we're viewed externally. The most important thing is how we perceive and view ourselves. And we'll keep going back to that. I mean, ultimately, you're in a professional sport. It's an elite competition. So wins and losses end up, whichever way they stack up, they matter, because, you know, fundamentally, that's how you will be judged. But in the interim, there's, you know, it's about where you are, how you, how much advantage you're taking of your opportunities, how close you are at your best. And invariably, the best teams are closer to their best more often, and we're getting better at that.
I suppose the follow-up is, how did you react to Thursday night's effort internally, given it was a good effort without?
Yeah, initially the effort, you know, looking at the effort and saying that was, you know, proud of the way that that we stuck the game out over four quarters. But when you go back and have a look at the tape, we were definitely still proud of the effort. The attitude and effort was first class, but our ability to get things right, to communicate and connect with each other, to make sure we had the right shape at times was not as good as we'd expect. So in the end, as I said, we feel like it was a game that was there to be won, and we didn't get it done, regardless of where the opposition are ranked or where we were ranked. So, you know, we're really bullish about our prospects, but our focuses will be around playing our footy for four quarters. Well, I've seen a few news reports around the status of our group over the last couple of days. I mean, yeah, that's a tough game against Freo 6 days ago. So, you know, we've had an 8-day break. Hawthorn left 6. We travel really well. We've come back in good shape. You know, Pendles and others trained really well up and about out there. So we're fresh and ready to go. There's nothing holding us back. His work rate's been really, really good and strong over the last month. He was a little bit quieter than he would have liked, but he's been pretty consistently a strong influence for us in front of the ball. He's a proud man though. He wants to keep backing up.
Is Schoenberg ready for selection?
Yeah, he's not far off. He's not far off. Every week at VFL level, he's adding another 5% to his level, physically, structurally. His performance is really strong. You know, I think we've got to understand that he's had foot issues. He hasn't played a lot of footy. Even the second half of his under-18s year, he missed a lot of that footy. Didn't play, you know, hardly played at all through the first year with us. So he's only just starting to get some continuity in his footy, but he's looking and starting to display the elements that that we know are going to be AFL quality in the future. So it's pretty exciting to see him come through.
Are you confused by the decisions of the MRP? I'd like to get your thoughts on this. What Buddy copped as opposed to what Gibbs copped?
haven't spent a lot of time analysing them. But I think the review panel and the process that's been put in place, especially the fine system, I think it's cleaned things up a little bit. But it's never an even outcome, because whatever the injury that the player gets from the action, it impacts on the decision, on the penalty. So it's pretty hard to compare apples to apples there, because it is quite different, and that's the way it's been set up, and we're going to get some vagaries from time to time because of that.
Darcy Moore does get the nod this week. Are you confident it's the sort of kid that will handle the occasion and also the opponent?
Yeah, look, we've got we feel like the development of our youth has been really strong, and we feel like with the competition for spots that exist at the moment, the players, when they're ready, they're ready, and they've had to earn their opportunities. We've gone from, in my last 3 years, my first 3 years, having five players sort of on the side of the board there with another two or three spots to fill, saying, well, these five haven't really earned the right to play, but which two or three are we gonna play? So we've now got a spot to fill, and we've got eight blokes that deserve to play, and which one of those eight is going to come in and play the role for us this week? So Darcy's in that position. Jonathan Marsh is in that position. Sam Dwyer, Paddy Karnesis, Braden Maynard, not far away. Scharenberg and Reed have been working back towards full fitness. Greenwood and Sinclair are the same. But, we've got choice at the moment. So players don't come in unless they're ready and unless they're able to handle it.
Travis Cloak, he's been good for him. You'd be expecting a big game from him on Friday?
Yep. I'm talked out, sorry about that.